Hello. Okay, it's working. Funny thing. How's everybody? Reading today. Just nearly blew it all for a start, you know. John chapter 3. I had it written down as 2. People have been saying to me lately the world's all gone mad, and it probably has. And to pinch a joke off Des, he said some bloke was told that COVID had affected the Brazilians, and he said, well, he can understand what a million is and he can understand what a trillion is, but didn't know what Brazilian was. Must have been a fair few. Yeah, it's gone mad anyway. So you want to turn to John chapter 3. Read a bit here. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, and no man can do the things, miracles that you do, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, but I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. Yeah, see, in the world, which I just said was gone mad and changed, fear in people. Ever noticed that? That too? People are frightened. Even some people holding telephone 1.5 metres away. Just about, anyway. Someone said that. Fear. And we are seeing people everywhere, especially in America. Mick was talking to me this morning about it, how things are going bad in America. Evil people there, you know, fraud is going on, and people playing with people's lives, terrible. Police can't cope. Our judicial systems are taking months and years to do, and people with mental problems and wanting to suicide and all that. The Black Lives Movement, same people are saying that they want to abortion of kids up to 1 year old, but many more kids have been boarded amongst the blacks than what are living. Do we live in Mr. Hitler's world? Terrible, isn't it? And people defrauding charities to get money, like it is the bushfires, and getting handouts when they never even got burnt out at all. And so the media will tell us what we need is more education, and the government needs to add millions of dollars to it, appoint more councillors, and that'll fix the problem. Does it? At one stage, I got sent to see a shrink, Peter, in Adelaide, due to my army service. Had to go and see this bloke. Anyway, he sat with us for about 10 minutes flat, reading a list of dumb questions for me to answer. And I found out later that he got about $800 for that visit. Didn't help me one little bit, but it did help to keep his Audi out in the driveway. 600. Oh, yes. Isn't that terrible, though? People have been rioting because they want to be, want to have, they actually really, what they're on about, they want to have the absolute right to sin and to continue to do so. And they want everybody else to do the same. So what's the answer? Jesus is the answer, of course. You suggest that to some people and they think you've gone nuts. The same as what Nicodemus said. You can't be born when you're old. But you can. You can be born of the Spirit. You must, we all must have a change of heart. Repentance means to have a change of heart. A change of direction in your life, a rebirth. This is something we cannot do of ourselves. We must ask Jesus into our heart and by his Spirit to make you anew. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 says, this is in the other Living Bible, says, this is what I have asked of you, of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together in love, and that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. A lot of people like that today, not really certain. And you need to get to a point where you understand that there is nothing else but Jesus. This mystery of God, which is talked about, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, hidden until Jesus, but now it's revealed to us. Isn't that marvellous? A change of heart must occur in all of our sick society if we're going to stop our society from total destruction. Nineveh had a heart change, and God changed his mind too. He didn't destroy them. With prayer, we can change the world. But our hope is in Jesus, not in the world. When he comes, he will change it all for good. But that doesn't excuse us for not praying about it. The world out there is like a minefield, and I liken that sort of to that I saw in Vietnam. Satan has set traps for us, tripwires and all. To compare it to the mines in there, I reckon it was the worst thing that ever I've seen, I think, is mines. And to be back home and walk around anywhere and not worry about treading on a mine, not that you can actually ever see them. They are invisible. Walk through... One night we're doing a clearing patrol around the camp, and I was in it. I walked between two trees and there was a tripwire, and I triggered it and it went click, and I thought I'm dead. But it was a smoke grenade. It just went smoke, but I tell you what, it's shocking. And you can't see them anyway. And then there's... these other ones, they're jumping mines. They're about as big as a jam tin, and at the top it's got three or four little spikes sticking up, and you bury them in the ground until there's nothing except the spikes, and you can't see amongst the grass. If you put your foot on it, it goes click. And when you step off, it blows up. They're wonderful things. And I was going to talk about John too. John is a mate of mine over there that Stan knows, and he's not here today. John was on the dozer because we used to drive bulldozers over there, and he was in a party that sort of went out to a place that they had the rendezvous at a crossroads, and he was going first, I guess, because he was slowest, and there was armoured personnel carriers coming behind and trucks and stuff. And as he got to the corner, he thought to himself, gee, this is a bad place, I reckon, for mines. Anyway, he pulled up, and as soon as he pulled up, armoured personnel carrier went round behind him and round front of him, rather, and pulled up and dropped the back down. All the blokes got out, and one bloke trod on the mine. Bang! And he screamed out to everybody, don't move, you're in the minefield. So he used the blade of the dozer to go around everywhere and push in case there was mines that would explode in front of the blade. And he finally got medevac bloke to sit on the apparatus behind the blade, and they went up to where this fellow was wounded and his leg all ripped open, and he remembers a fellow yelling out, don't bury me yet, I'm not dead. And got the medevac to him, and he fixed him up as best he could, and a helicopter came and got him, took him away. So that's a bit like, I believe, what Jesus has done for us. You know, he's like the bulldozer, he's cleared a track for us to get there. And to clear other mines is you can use a detector, and we were trained in all this sort of rubbish. But if you happen to be on site where there's mines and someone got in trouble, you can use something spiky, or used to use a bayonet, to probe the ground in front of you until you find one where they are. You hit them side on, it doesn't usually blow up. And, you know, it's a bit dangerous, isn't it? You can probe around and eventually find them, and then what we used to do then is trying to put a pin back in them so that they're safe, or if that's not the case, get a rope around them, and it's a good idea to do that anyway, because a lot of times they put a hand grenade underneath them with a pin pulled out, so that if you shift the mine, the whole lot goes up. So put a rope around them and get away somewhere and pull it, and if it doesn't go off, or you start from there. But as you go clearing them, you had two bits of tape, and they rolled it all out as they went, clearing a track. Isn't that like what Jesus has done for us? We have to follow him. We get in that pathway, which is the narrow way that leads unto life, talked of there in the Bible, and you don't want to step outside the boundary. People of the world are a bit like this. There was one bloke who stepped on one of these jumping mines. He was going slow, I think, so he stepped on it and it went click and he froze. Imagine that was you, what would you do? Hey? You sort of wouldn't want to be tap dancing, would you? What do you think they did? It comes in something else there too. Because how they got him off it was that they sharpened up a bayonet till it was really sharp, and they went up close to him and cut his boot above the sole all the way round till they shifted it. Then they pushed the bayonet under his instep, pushed it up to where the mine was, put dirty great big rocks either side. Then they packed him full of flak jackets as much as they could everywhere, got away at a distance and said, right, I step off it. Yeah. Isn't that like what people of the world are like? He got off that okay. They sometimes involved in stuff that's like a mine that it catches them unaware. Things like alcohol and drugs and that. They attempt it for a while and they don't realise what it's like, but it comes back to bite them and bites them bad. And once they're in it, they can't do anything about it. You consider that man standing on the mine. What are you thinking about? If I step off it, I'm dead. And I can't stay here forever. And that's what people are like, aren't they? But God has found a way. And we should be like the bloke who was game enough and brave enough to cut around the boot. I was laughing at that time, but like they got him off the mine, but they didn't save the soul, did they? But Jesus, he came to save our soul. And we should be like the blokes trying to cut the boot off him. We should do that for people. We should get them out of that trouble. And, yes. However, I reckon it was a very dangerous and hard to do. And the knife, of course, is in this instance, is the word of God. And the boot is the world. Separating that from the soul to save the eternal life of the person. Yeah, the word of God is a sharp-edged sword, isn't it? Two-edged sword? Yes, it cuts away the dividing of the soul and spirit, something like that. Jesus told us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. There is hope. The other day I heard about this lady. She's a Catholic and she, over in the States, she led a meeting of prayer outside Washington. There or around Washington, whatever, wherever they go. 10,000 people turned up. Was it on the media? Never heard about it, did you? 10,000 people turned up praying for the sins of the nation, standing in the gap for them. We should dwell only on the victory, because victory we have in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, for he was crucified. Remember that song I used to sing? We should hope in him and he'll deliver us. We have a high priest that has gone before us, what Stephen said this morning. And he intercedes for us before God's throne. We have no higher authority than that. You know, we could go to Mr. Trump or whoever's the biggest authority in the world, but it's nothing like that. Jesus is the authority.